The scripture says that we are ambassadors for Christ, to take the message of Christ to the whole world, which means in our homes, across the street, it means through the state, the region, to the country, and even to other nations of the world. And that's what we're going to hear about today. Ask our Haiti team to come forward. And there's a number of them that are going to be sharing. And so you guys can just do like you did in the first service there. And I want to just note a couple of things here. First of all, you have a blank bulletin sheet. Mine's got some writing on it because I was in the first service. Take this time as the team speaks to write down any notes that God brings to your mind. So let's have open hearts. Maybe there's a verse or a truth from the lesson that they learned about Christ or about their own lives on this trip that would strike you. So take out your pen and just be like the sheet, have an open heart to write down whatever God would speak to you about today. I also think of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." This is the commission of Christ, our job description, until he returns. And so you're going to hear a portion of that today. So I'm going to turn over to Michael Schaeferle to start us off, and then you'll hear from the rest of the team. There's a microphone right there. Thanks.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Pastor Blair, for that introduction. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to speak in front of you this morning. Like Pastor said, my name is Michael Schaeferle, and for those of you that don't know me, I'll give you a little background. In January of 2011, through God's leading, we, my family, Sarah, and two kids found ourselves packing our bags and going to Haiti for 1 year. We went with an organization called One Mission Society and worked with their project called Homes for Haiti. We worked alongside members of a specific church and for those members also building homes for people that were affected by the earthquake. We firmly believe that if it wasn't for this church and people in this church and locals in the area, that we wouldn't have made it to Haiti as quick as we did in raising our support. Part of our responsibility while we were there was hosting teams from the States in this building project. We hosted many teams, but our most exciting teams were the ones that came from E-Free. We hosted two of those. The last one, or the second one being the last week that we were there in Haiti, they helped us pack and brought us home. It was with sadness and excitement and probably some fear that we left Haiti. But here we are in January of 2013, 1 year later. Our mission isn't over. The project continues. And so it's been my privilege over the last year to go back five times, spend a total of 6 weeks there, still leading teams doing the same thing. And one of those teams that I led was the group standing behind me. And I know that they all have great things to share of what God did in them and through them as a result of their mission trip to Haiti.
Hi, I'm Michelle Flanagan. I'm a junior at Van Buren. So I would be lying if I said that Haiti wasn't terrifying the first few days that you get there, but I would also be lying if I said it wasn't completely amazing. Like a lot of people, my parents had their hesitation about me going because there's always the reports on the news about the diseases and the violence and everything else. But I was positive, and I knew that God wanted me to go to Haiti. But it's easy to be brave sitting in your recliner at home. So I continued to talk to my parents, and I prayed, and I got other people to pray for me, and I got the go-ahead. But on the plane ride to Haiti, I was full of doubts and fear. And we landed, and the heat hits you, and everyone's talking, and you can't understand a word that they're saying, and people are staring at you, and you're the minority for the first time in your life. And it's very intimidating. But the first night I was there, I started crying because I was 100% out of my element, had no clue how to help the people who I couldn't even talk to. And even though I knew I was still, like, I still knew that I was supposed to be there, I was still confident in that, I didn't know why. So I prayed that God would give me the strength to make it through the week and to open my heart to the people and to actually make a difference. And he did. Sunday was a lot better than Saturday, which was our first day, had been. We went to church, and although I didn't know what was being said or sung, we were all worshiping the same God. The kids in the Sunday school behind the congregation had to be told to quiet down because they could hear them in the main part of the church and it was being disruptive. And by Monday, I was falling in love with Haiti. Sarah told us it's pretty typical to feel lost at first and then to find your groove and love it a lot more. But on Monday, I wasn't doubting things anymore. My prayers were answered. I stopped seeing trash and started seeing all these beautiful people with the best smiles in the world. And I stopped being scared by a foreign language, and I embraced the little I knew, which basically consisted of hello. And on Friday at our vacation Bible school, one little girl called me her mom. And it was astounding. I'd obviously impacted her, and a few days before that, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to make it through the week. If it's possible and you feel that God's telling you to go, go. It's scary at first, but then it's just 100% awesome. And if you give your fear and worry over to Him, He'll take care of you and get rid of it. And if you open your heart to His will and these people, they'll change your life.
My name is Kim Berkstead. I've only been with the church for a little bit over a year now. This was my first mission trip ever, my first time being out of the country ever. And all I can say is that there was so many blessings within this trip that it's really hard to pick out just one to talk about. But I am going to pick just one of them out. And the blessing that I chose to speak on is that we had two different job sites kind of while we were there. We had the main job site where we were actually building the house, but we also had a job site that was kind of our secondary home base type setting where we had two ladies who opened up their houses, they opened up their hearts and let us come into the area, let us come into their homes. They gave us so much support and love in just the small week that we had with them. They let us take naps in their house. They let us walk through their houses to see what it looked like with a finished house, what they were living in after the houses were completed for them. They saw us bring our book bags in, and we just set our book bags on the ground the first day. And the lady did not like that at all. She actually brought out a table, put a tablecloth on the table, and asked us to put our bags on the table because it wasn't good for our bags to sit on the ground. She then saw us all sitting on the ground to eat our lunches, and she didn't really appreciate that either, so she brought out every chair that she could find, wiped them off. Here we are standing in dusty, concrete, dirt-covered clothes, but she took the time to wipe down these chairs before she would let us sit on them. She allowed us to build trusses in her yard. They let us host a vacation Bible school for the week and basically just opened their hearts in any way that they could think of. It kind of put me in the mindset of the story of Jesus when he walks into the temple with his disciples, and he asks his disciples, who's giving more? These rich people who are throwing in all this money, or this one poor lady who just throws in one copper penny? And these ladies, they truly gave us their all. At the end of the week, on the last day, one of them came up to me and Sherry, and she just looked at us. She gave us this look like there was something that she wanted to say to us, but we didn't speak Creole and she didn't speak English, so she settled for a simple hug. That hug meant so much. There was so much power and love just in that one simple hug.
Good morning. My name is Stephen Ruggles, and I'd first like to just say how thankful I am I was able to go to Haiti and serve the Lord. This was my second mission trip in the last 2 years, and I was excited to see what God had in store for me. I was curious to see how much Haiti had changed since the last time I was there. Aside from the airport congestion, I saw God had been doing great things there in Haiti. On the drive to the villa where we stayed, I looked past the trash on the street, the congestion of traffic, and the intense smells, and I saw the joy in people's faces, children waving, and I knew right then and there it was God's desire for me to be there. This trip was a real blessing. Last year, while in Haiti, we completed a house and finished half of one, and we were unable to complete it. And this year, we were building a house that was only a block away from the house that we didn't complete last year. And we had the privilege to see that finished. At that house, the homeowners, like Kim said, allowed us to use their front yard or fenced in area. In Haiti, they don't really have grass to just kind of sit down on. It was rubble and, you know, concrete and, you know, kind of block. But they allowed us to use their front area for to have lunch, to store our tools, and also to set up a Bible school for their children and also their parents. Towards the middle of the week, we were at a point where not everyone was needed at the job. An older gentleman, Lewis, and I walked back to where we had lunch to see what some of the other crew members was doing. When we got there, there was about a dozen or more children there and some of their parents back at the work site. Sarah and the others come to find out we're handing out tracts and Bibles and evangelizing. So towards the middle to the end of the week, some of the crew, they set up a Bible school for the children the last couple days of the trip. And during that end of the week, I had the privilege to go back and forth between the job site and Bible school. It was great to be able to pour concrete, hammer nails on a truss, screw down a roof, and then take a break and visit children who were excited to learn about Jesus. Their hearts were wide open and were willing to listen. It was amazing that even the parents were there and were just as excited. While deciding what I was going to say this morning, I came upon my journal from the trip, and I came upon this entry. At the Bible school today, it was amazing to see the children gathered around Sarah to hear about Jesus and watch her describe the Evangel cubes. We also had craft time today, and not only the children colored a random scrap piece of wood, but so did the parents. If I were to recap my experience in Haiti, I feel that this verse best describes it. Luke 12, verse 15, where Jesus says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions."
Good morning. My name's Andrew Popp, and I have notes on this thing. I'm not up here playing solitaire, I promise. I've been at E3 for a little bit over 2 years, and I went to Haiti with the rest of this team, and I was just going to share. There were multiple lessons that I learned as well, but one primary lesson I think that I was going to share with everybody. In our meetings leading up to the Haiti trip, we got these rubber bracelets, and they say on them, "Banje se gran ase," which is God is big enough. And I think that was kind of a foreshadowing of the lesson that he was going to teach me when I went. Our country enjoys an extremely blessed quality of life. And that was the first thing, that's the first thing that really hits you, at least for the first time when you go down there, is when you get on that truck to head back to the villa where you're staying, is the chaos of traffic, the piles of trash that you see on the roads. We don't deal with things like that. Again, we have such an extremely blessed quality of life in this country that they don't. And so I was thinking, at least for me personally, what comes out of that? And there were several things basically that I was taught through that. And one of those is that we come to believe that these are the norm, that maybe everybody across the world lives like this. And so it's easy for us to take that for granted. The other thing is, and probably worse yet, is we feel like we've created that environment, or we deserve that environment. You know, we're good people, or, you know, a self-righteous attitude that we can have that says we again earned that or deserve that. Or the other thing that I feel like, again, for me personally, that could come out of is that we praise God for the wrong motives. We give him thanks and praise for possessions or things of this life that make it comfortable. Again, what we have that a lot of other countries don't have. So on Saturday we arrived, and then on Sunday we got to go to their church and experience a worship service with them. And the thing that really immediately came out was just how much these people loved God. The same God that we worship here, but they showed up and they were singing at the top of their lungs, just praising God, and they were doing it from a completely different situation. They're not praising him because of blessings or a comfortable lifestyle that they enjoy, because they don't. For the majority of them, their lifestyle is a lot more meager, a lot more meek than ours. So they were just coming to praise him for who he is, how big he is. He's big enough to do anything and everything in our lives. I found a verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I'm sure probably some of you struggle out there like I do with sometimes knowing what God's will is. I feel like this is one verse that really gives us clear direction. You know, one of the wills of God is that we give him thanks in everything. And I saw that played out in these people again who have so much less than we do, but they just went and sang with hearts of praise, again, to the same God that we praise. Also, I think I found a Hebrews 12:28. It's a verse that says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." Just kind of echoes again what I felt like the lesson that I was being taught. We praise God. We thank him for being a part of his kingdom. He's brought us into his kingdom through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and it's through that gift that we're able to be a part of his kingdom. And so with that thought, we cannot be shaken. We stand on solid ground, and we show our gratitude. So that was main lesson. And really quickly, I didn't say this at the last service, but if you're at all entertaining the idea of going, please just pray about it. Come find one of us, contact the Schaeferleys and talk to them about it. Even if you're not entertaining the thought, pray about it anyways. Just see if this is something that God will lead you to and teach you great lessons as he's done for the rest of us. So.
Well, hello, my name is Jay Yater, and my wife Emily and I have been a part of E3 for going on 7 years now. I think it's fair to say that I'm here today because of the grace of God and my willingness to step outside of my comfort zone. When we started at E3, we chose to get connected through different service opportunities, such as nursery, helping out with the high school youth group, and so on. Then this led to getting involved in our family group, community groups, Bible studies, and other avenues that nurtured our growth in God and in his word. I'll admit, though, the first steps on these decisions weren't necessarily easy, but it opened doors for spiritual and personal growth. Our little family has developed a biblical foundation and many lasting friendships by getting connected within the church. These baby steps outside of my comfort zone led me to where I am today, speaking to all of you about a life-changing journey I had in Haiti. I think for the past 2 years, I've read in the bulletins and heard some of the testimonies of some of my fellow believers about the Haiti trips. I struggle to step up, though, and follow the tug on my heart and prompting of God, because doing something like a mission trip was something at one time I only thought other people did. For many of us, going to a third world country is way outside of our comfort zone, but don't let the fear of the unknown discourage you from what God is calling you to do. So after praying about this trip, I decided to finally do it. I reserved a spot to travel to Haiti with the people on this stage, and let me tell you, it was one of the most rewarding and spiritual journeys I've ever experienced. See, when we traveled to Haiti, our goal was to build a home and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Haitian people, as well as to bring hope to those who truly needed it. What I found out, though, was that my preconceived notions about giving in Haiti clouded the realization about what I was about to get out of this trip. I gained a sense of humility and appreciation for what we've been blessed with and gained new friendships along the way. It's crazy to think that it took flying thousands of miles to really get to know somebody that may only sit a few rows across from you every Sunday morning. The people we worked with on our house project didn't always have gloves or even shoes, yet they always worked hard and worked together. Imagine building a home and working in sandals or having no gloves at all and you're dealing with stone or block every day. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." The entire building process was physically demanding, from moving large stone and setting the footers, to slinging 5-gallon buckets of concrete and lifting heavy block above our heads. To this day, I wonder if Andrew and I were not recruited for this trip due to our lanky arms and abnormal height. Regardless, every inch of my body ached after working, but I woke up the next day feeling rested and, for the most part, pain-free. I can't explain in any other saying, when I was in Haiti, I was always granted the strength and endurance I needed to make it through the day. God alone sustained us to accomplish his work. So for 5 days, we labored in the Caribbean heat, doing things that we never thought that we were capable of doing. But I look forward to the morning devotions that we had on the construction site where everybody stopped what they were doing and talked about their walk with Christ. One key moment that stuck out to me was from our foreman, Gabrielle. He shared his testimony with us and gave us some surprising words of motivation. He knows that he doesn't have the same opportunities as we do here in America. We have the ability to go travel and do God's work in countries like Haiti or Kosovo, but Gabrielle and his men, they are bound to Haiti. That didn't stop Gabrielle from encouraging them to evangelize and share the gospel with their own people. He encouraged his men to spread the word in their communities, to head up into the mountains and connect with people that haven't heard of the miracle of Jesus Christ. It astounded me hearing someone who lives in a country ravaged by devastation to preach about our duty to share the gospel to anyone that will hear it. It spoke volumes to me because I believe that we all tend to forget from time to time that we have the same opportunities to expand the kingdom of Christ, even right next door to where we live. My journey of stepping outside of my comfort zone has led me to as far as Haiti, and I hope it leads me further. I hope you all will consider a step outside of your comfort zone, whether to another country or across the street, just to do God's will. As it says in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want to say thank you to everyone that helped make this trip a reality. We were all impacted by your prayers and by your love. And I'm excited for the day that I can go back to Haiti, give of my sweat and of my spirit to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and grow a little deeper in my faith.
Good morning. My name is Sherry Warrington, and I knew right from the start that Haiti was where I was supposed to be. I had absolutely no apprehension whatsoever. But then when we first arrived at Haiti, the devastation, despair was overwhelming, and for a while it blinded me to what God needed me to see there. But then on Sunday when we went to church service, which totally changed my perspective, when I saw the Haitian people praising and worshiping God with such compassion despite their hardship, it brought tears to my eyes. I was then able to see God at work in Haiti in amazing ways. I saw God in the faces, especially the beautiful smiles of the Haitian people. I saw the hope of God as we evangelized, and the people eagerly accepted the tracts and Bibles we offered. They often immediately started reading and sharing them with other people around them. Even though we could not communicate well with them, we saw God's word reaching out through them. I saw the hands of God as we worked side by side with the Haitian crew for the same purpose of serving God. I felt God's touch when the children reached out and held my hand and lovingly gave hugs and kisses, sometimes calling me mama. I saw God's heart when the Haitian people graciously gave of themselves by sharing with us what little they had. I saw God at work in each one of us, changing us in ways that will affect our lives forever. I saw God at work in me when, as I discovered my gifts of service to him, and sometimes to a greater degree, when we serve him in areas we are not gifted in. I learned to trust God in a deeper way when we had to turn and walk away from the orphanage, especially for me, little John, who was very sick and hung on my leg and walked with me as far as he could go, even though he was so weak he could barely stand. I went to Haiti hoping to make a difference, no matter how small. But the truth is, it made a life-changing difference in me. I left a piece of my heart in Haiti, but gained an overwhelming desire to serve God with all that I have. I urge every one of you to be a part of this mission in whatever way you can. If you can't physically go, then by your finances, your support, and most importantly, your prayers. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Sarah Schaeferle. I am the other half of the cute one on the end. When our family went to Haiti for that year, we led over 200 people in that short year to build and visit orphanages and all that, and it was fabulous. But the teams that we, like Michael said, that we enjoyed the most was E-Free. We have so much fun with E-Free. They're so full of character and just a lot of fun. I wanted to share with you several different things that we did this time that was slightly different than our other teams. A lady in the church had made a lot of cloth diapers, and in Haiti, a lot of babies don't wear diapers. They kind of just go wherever they go, or if they do use them, they're the disposable ones, and they usually end up on the side of the street. So she saw it when she went down the last time and made some cloth diapers, and so I took them down. I showed the Haitians, and they loved it. We kind of put them in our little backpacks or bags as we were at the job site and just prayed that God would find us somebody to give these to. And it was just kind of ironic that every time we saw a baby, we would give them diapers. And it was perfect. God really knew what our mission was and provided those babies for us. There was one evening that, or one day, that we were out walking around and evangelizing and passing out tracts and Bibles. And we went to a tent city. And there was a lady right in the door who was pregnant, and she had nothing for this unborn baby, nothing. So we were able to give her diapers, explain how to use them, and they loved it. I did receive an email about a couple weeks ago, and here these diapers have made it to the north of Haiti and Cape Haitian, and the medical clinic was so excited that now they're teaching people how to make these diapers, and so it's just going to keep on going. Another thing that was awesome that E-Free really got on board with was backpacks. Everybody asks me what they can do to help the teams go to Haiti, and I just said, you know, put some backpacks together and we'll give them out. We'll do a VBS and we'll hand them out to the kids. Well, we ended up going down with about 4 suitcases full of backpacks. We started our VBS. We did a 3-day VBS for the children. And the night before, a couple of the ladies and I were counting these backpacks, and we did not have enough for all these children. And so we're going through the list and trying to decide who was going to get them, who wasn't. And I remember just praying that, God, please multiply these backpacks. I don't want to get mauled at the job site. I really want all of the children to be able to have a backpack. So we left it in his hands, went to the job site, and we finished up, and we're ready to leave, and we start handing out backpacks. And sure enough, we had an abundance of backpacks. So we handed out them. We ended up leaving. We took them home with us. So we're at the villa back where we stay, and we had an opportunity to give out yet more backpacks to these children. So they were very excited about that. Another thing is somebody in the church, while we were there for our year, gave us a substantial amount of money to buy Bibles. They wanted the word to go out into Haiti. So Michael and I purchased some Bibles, and there were still some left at the villa. And as we would go out and evangelize, people were just grabbing these Bibles as fast as they could. They couldn't get enough. They would see the tracts about this size, and they would take them, and they would read them. But the Bibles, you just couldn't keep them. So many times we would get our, I think JJ and Steve would get their man purses on and stuffed with all these little tracts and Bibles. And we would go out, and people were just taking them. At the job site, there was a great little visual for you. I gave a girl a tract and a Bible, and she couldn't read it. She was maybe 10, 11, 12. And so she found somebody else who could read it and ran to her, and they sat down and read these tracts and Bibles. In the Haitians, the literacy rate is about 50%. So for somebody to get one, they will take it back to their family and read it, and people will congregate around them and keep going. So one little Bible has the potential of reaching many people. We still have more Bibles there. I don't know how they keep multiplying. Obviously, it's God at work, but that's awesome. We handed out over 3,000 tracts. The book of Matthew, Satan versus Christ, which is important in Haiti, and then how to get to God. And so those were awesome, along with about 500 Bibles. Another thing, when we were getting prepared to leave, Pastor Blair had told me that we had some money in an account designated to Haiti. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you this money and do what you will. And immediately I thought of chickens. I have been trying to raise chickens at our house and, you know, for food and I guess selling and whatever. And so I really felt, I prayed about it, and I felt God saying chickens. So we had JJ, Ryan, and Chelsea built a chicken castle for a Haitian that had received one of our houses, and we gave this to Gabrielle. He's also our foreman. We gave it to him and charged him with a plan of, as the chickens would lay, to give those eggs out to witness to others, and as the eggs would hatch into chicks, to be able to give those to other people, not just for food, but just to keep going, to get God's word out there. And so he accepted this. So I'm really excited, to go back in April and see if he's having better luck than I am with these chickens. The last thing I wanted to mention was the tent over here. I'm sure you're wondering why there's a tent in the sanctuary. This is about the same size of the tents that the Haitians are living in. We have the beds, we have a table, we even have a water supply. So I challenge each and every one of you to go through that tent and see how they live. Haiti has hurricanes, storms, everything. The tent that there's a picture in there of Matoun. Matoun is the grandmother, and then she has two grown girls. The husbands have left them, and then they have eight children. So there is 11 people living in that one tent. So I don't know about you, but I don't think I could do that, but they do. So there's pictures in there of Matoun and how her tent is set up and some amazing facts of Haiti that are great to look out. So go through that with your children or just by yourself. Also in the foyer, we have a table set up. There's papers that have everybody's testimonies here, even the ones who you're not going to hear today, about their experience in Haiti. It'd be great for you guys to get that, pray over them. We're also leaving April 13th through 20th to lead another team from E-Free down there, and I just can't wait to see what what God has in store for us. So just pray about them. Pray about pray for Michael and I continuing to continue our mission in Haiti. And I just want to thank you all so much for your support. Like Michael had said, without your support, we would not be able to continue to go. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, there you've heard firsthand from our team about their experiences there in Haiti. And let's pray for them and the individuals that they affected, that God's work continue. Lord God, we thank you for the work that you did through our team. We know that the work continues through so many other Christians who go to Haiti and other places in the world. Lord, we want to pray for Gabrielle. We pray for him as he continues the ministry there, that you'd watch over him and guide him, give him the strength. We pray for the gospel to continue to spread and to move exponentially through all the people there who have heard it, and the tracts and the Bibles and the acts of service. So by your Spirit, we pray that you'd continue to draw people to yourself. We pray for the church to be built up, the Christians to be encouraged, and God, we just pray for your comfort and your peace for the fellow believers there. And thank you that we could go and serve, but also you've taught us so many lessons about who you are and about your work in the world. So we love you, Lord, and just pray you continue to lead us for future trips. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.